Abide with us.
But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Now this is the 29th verse of Luke 24, and it's the occasion of our Lord, our risen Lord, joining the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And as we considered these things, we considered the blessings of this convention and the blessings of this day, and as we look back over our life in the Lord, we realize that oftentimes the evening time, when the rush and pressures of the day and the work of the day may be lightened a little. Sometimes they're lightened a little, even in our busy day. That it's a wonderful time. It's a time when perhaps at least a portion of the day's work is done. You know how they say that man's work is from sun to sun and woman's work is never done. And it seems in our day that though we may try to keep our lives simple, it seems less easy. But I'm sure you can remember that back in a time when maybe not so many of us lived so close together, more of us lived out in the country, it wasn't quite so easy to get about and there weren't so many things to do that would take us away, that when evening time came, there was maybe a little time around the fireplace, or maybe someone or two or three could play an instrument, or you could sing together a little bit, or you could just sit and talk and consider the events of the day and be thankful for the blessings of the day and maybe look forward and plan a little for the day to come. And so I think this evening, after the blessings of this day, the words that we've heard from this platform, the events that have taken place this day, is cause for thankfulness and for meditation and for reflection upon all the Lord's goodness. I'm sure that some of those that symbolize their consecration, or that those that symbolize their consecration today by water immersion, are reflecting back upon the events of this day and all the Lord's blessing and overruling providences that have led them to this time. And you know, every time that we see someone that has been able to receive the truth and has been drawn to the Lord and has progressed in the truth, and the Lord has opened their heart till they come to the point at which they want to offer themselves unreservedly in consecration to do the will of the Lord, you and I know that another miracle has taken place, because we've heard it from this platform several times already, that unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. Blessed are your eyes if they see, and your ears if they hear. For many noble and righteous men have desired to see the things that ye see, and have not been able. Yes, every one of us is a miracle of grace, and we know that's an expression used by many that name the name of Christ. But you and I have a deeper concept of just what that means, of being miracles of grace. And we know it. And you know it. And it's not cause for anything but gratitude and humility that the Lord, in His wisdom, could so arrange His affairs that He could use you and me. And we know that it's because of His mighty power. Not only His mighty power that He's exercised in our lives here, but the mighty power that He's going to have to exercise before we'll really ever be profitable servants for Him. And so, let us consider the blessings of the Lord that He has brought to us. And turning back to Luke 24:29, so they constrained this stranger that had joined himself to them, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. Isn't it wonderful that he granted their request? And they didn't know who he was. But just think who he was. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Their heart burned within them as he talked to them on the way and opened to them the scriptures. But now it was evening time and they were reflecting upon it and meditating upon it and looking back on the blessings of that day when the light of truth had been opened to them, and they were permitted to begin to see the things that had been hidden from ages and generations, and were now ready to begin to be made known unto the saints. And so I'm sure that their hearts burned within them all over again as they considered the grace of the Lord and the events of that day. And so may we too never forget our first love and the joy that we had as we began to be permitted to see these secrets, these mysteries, known only to the initiated, as the brethren brought out from this platform. You know, this light of truth and how precious it is. The first recorded words of God in the scriptures are in Genesis 1:3. "Let there be light." And you and I have been privileged to see that light, which is the greatest light that the Lord has yet revealed to any on the human plane. And there was light. But let us consider some of the things that have to do with this time of day, with the evening. We'll turn back to Exodus, the 12th chapter, for a moment. And there we find the instruction of the Lord to the children of Israel through Moses and Aaron. And in the opening verses of that chapter, the Lord was giving them the instructions concerning the Passover lamb and how they were to take it up on the 10th day and keep it up until the 14th day. And it was to be a lamb, in the 5th verse, they were told, a male of the first year, that is a yearling lamb. And they were to keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, or between the two evenings. And so here is something that is basic to us, which the Lord was setting forth as a type there, that this lamb was to be killed in the evening. And you and I thrill every time we realize how accurately the antitype of this was fulfilled. When, as you have already heard also, 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, that Christ, our Passover, is slain for us. And you know how perfectly the Lord worked that out, that our Lord would die on the cross at just the same time that typical lamb was slain. And so, at the evening time of this day, and at the evening time of our lives, may we yet continue to consider that love that was manifested by the Heavenly Father, and that love and obedience that was manifested by His Son, whereby we have the provision of the means of redemption for not only ourselves, but for all the family of men. Now this was important enough that our Heavenly Father caused it to be put forward in further in the types in Exodus, the 29th chapter, where we read in verses 38 and 39 that in the tabernacle arrangement, the children of Israel, through their priests, were to do something which would continually remind them of this, which was eventually to typify the ever-acacious sacrifice of our Lord. And so we read in Exodus 29:38, "Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year," notice it's the same as that Passover lamb, "day by day continually. One lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even," as a continual reminder of that sacrifice. To us it is, of a sacrifice of our Lord. And again in Numbers, the 28th chapter, this is given to us, that we might, from these two witnesses and places, have this impressed upon us. Numbers 28, verses 3 and 4, we have a similar instruction as given by the Lord through Moses to the children of Israel. "This is the offering made by fire which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year, without spot or blemish, day by day for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even." They were to be lambs of the first year. They were to be without spot. They typed our Lord and Savior, holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners. And you notice that they were burnt offerings. And the law of the burnt offering, as given to us in Leviticus 1 and 4, is that anyone that wanted to bring a burnt offering was to bring it of their own free voluntary will. That's the kind of an offering that our Lord offered, as we again have heard from this platform, that He came to do the will of the Father. And so we are too to be followers of Him. Now then, our consideration of these things, it would be appropriate for us to have morning and evening prayer, thankful recognition of the Lord's arrangements for us, And really, we believe that the sooner this habit is established in the lives of any of the Lord's people, the greater will be their blessing. If when they awake in the morning, if we can take just a little time, if we can remember and pray the Lord to help us remember, to take just a little time to ask the Lord's blessing upon the day, to ask His guidance, to thank Him for His care through the night, and for all His daily blessings. Ask Him to keep us from evil and the evil one, and to keep us close to Him. And to ask Him to go with us through the day. And right in connection with this, we know that the use of the manna in the morning has been a great blessing to the Lord's people here in the harvest time, wisely provided by a very faithful servant of the Lord. And then in the evening time, when it's time to retire, or when there is time for a little thought and meditation in the evening, that we would lift our hearts to the Heavenly Father for thankfulness for the way He has guided and overruled that day, and to ask Him forgiveness for the things wherein we have come short of doing His will in thought, word, or deed, to ask His care through the night, and to thank Him for the temporal blessings as well as the spiritual. How many times have you been privileged to sink into a soft and comfortable bed, and you realize that the roof over you was pretty tight? And then you thought a little bit, and you thought of how many throughout the world didn't have those blessings. And you realized that God had certainly been good. And you just, again, added a little more emphasis to your prayer for the kingdom. And you thanked Him for all His goodness. Yes, it's evening time. And let us return thankful hearts to our loving Heavenly Father, and our loving and obedient Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so then, as we would recognize these as typing that Passover lamb and the antitypical one, the lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, then count our blessings still further as we realize that the Heavenly Father has opened our eyes to see that during this age that He has called us out of darkness at a prior time, that we might have the privilege of being joint sacrificers with our Lord and of following in His steps, and ask the Lord's help and guidance that we might faithfully do that. In a remembrance of this ransom sacrifice of our Lord. You know, when we read Brother Russell's writings, quite often we'll run across that expression of squaring things with the ransom. What did he mean by squaring things with the ransom? Well, because we say that the ransom sacrifice of our Lord, and a belief with full faith and an acting upon it in harmony with that faith, is the hub of the truth. And if we believe in Christ, that means that we also believe in Messiah, which is the same word, only in the Hebrew tongue. And so it's the faith of Abraham. It's the faith that believes God. It doesn't just believe that God is, but it believes God. And when we say what Brother Russell meant, we believe, when he said squaring things by the ransom, he meant that we would with full faith recognize that on the basis of the redemptive work of Christ, of a life forfeited by our first parent through Adam, through disobedience and sin, that a perfect human life was willingly and obediently laid down in sacrifice as a ransom or corresponding price, and that on the basis of that sacrifice, acceptable to Him as atonement for us and in due time for the whole world of mankind, that God would take action to fulfill His word to set up a kingdom that would be the means of blessing all the families of the earth. And that that kingdom would be set up through and for this Christ, head and body. Yes, it means that we have that faith, which means that we believe that the Heavenly Father will take such action as He did in the preparation of the earth for man's habitation, as He did when He sent His own Son into the world in the fullness of time to be that Redeemer. These are things that He has done. Those that think that mankind is going to establish the kingdom, and I know you see the error of that thought, when you and I know that the kingdom is going to establish the world. And by God's grace, through God's power, He is establishing the heavenly phase of that kingdom. And every one of us will need the exercise of His power on our behalf for us to have a share in that kingdom on the divine plane to accomplish His purposes to His glory and that of our Lord. And so it is a living faith, a faith that believes in the power and wisdom and justice and love of our Heavenly Father. And so let us consider that, for it is toward evening time. You know, Psalms in the Night is a help for our closing. And we're always happy to have the brethren use it at the conventions. And let us make that a habit for ourselves in the evening time. Let's try not to be so tired that we can't read the Psalms in the Night before we retire and have our prayer, kneel in prayer before the Lord. Now, these are good habits. You know, fortunately, good habits are like bad habits in this, that they're hard to be broken. Good habits can be strong too. And so then, let us think upon these things and meditate upon them. Sow a thought and reap an act, and sow an act and reap a habit, and sow a habit and reap a character, and sow a character and reap a destiny. The Lord has promised us a wonderful destiny if we'll pay heed to His word. You know, how will the world really be healed? Oh, you say there's many things that are going to have to be done, that are going to require the exercise of power beyond man's power. Yes, you say the adversary will have to be bound. That's right. The veil of covering will have to be lifted from off all faces. Yes. And the pure language will have to be turned to the people. You say, yes, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel will have to be sprinkled after the church is completed. And the Holy Spirit will have to begin to be poured out upon all flesh. Yes, it'll take all of those things, but what else will it take? It will take the willing cooperation of every human being to become co-workers with God, workers together with the Christ to walk up that highway of holiness. And dear friends, it takes exactly the same thing for you and me today. He's giving us an opportunity to manifest that at the present time, that we might be prepared to help the world properly and properly sympathize with them and to appreciate the principles involved. That's how the world will eventually be healed. And at the end of the age, that work will be glorious. And what a privilege it will be to share in it. And so may our Heavenly Father help us in this evening time to consider all His goodness and His greatness, and help us to pray more earnestly that we may be more profitable servants and better workers together with Him. And then, you know, sometimes things can help us. There's a little saying, I'm sure many of you have heard it, that red sun in the morning is sailor's warning, and red sun at night is sailor's delight. When we think of red and scarlet, we think of the ransom. So maybe if you see a red sun in the morning, you say it's sailor's warning, and you say, well, let me be careful not to forget the Lord, and to be careful in my walk that day. And when we see a red sun at night, we'll be delighted and we'll say, well, let me thank the Lord for all His goodness and His care this day. And let us ask ourselves, as we consider the various opportunities we may have, or our leisure time, or whatever it may be, that we don't say, well, that won't hurt me. But rather, let us ask ourselves, will it help me? Will it prosper me as a new creature in Christ Jesus? And so manifest our love and appreciation to our Heavenly Father and our Lord. Now in Genesis, the 24th chapter, we have the account of Abraham sending his servant Eliezer to find a bride for Isaac. And here again, there's reference to the evening time. We find that Eliezer was sent off with the gifts and so forth to go to the land of some of the relatives of Abraham to find a bride for Isaac. And so he came to the city of Nahor, told in the 10th verse. The 11th verse tells us, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Now, it was at evening time that he did that. And what did he do? And it was at a place of the well of water, and you and I rejoice every time we think of what water means, as it's a symbol of truth. But what did he do? And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And so then he asked the Lord to reveal to him, to indicate to him, who might be a fitting bride for Isaac. And so then, the 15th verse tells us, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And there it was, at evening time, by the well of water, and God heard and answered the prayer. You know, Eliezer represents the Holy Spirit, sent out by Abraham the father to find a bride for his son, Isaac, that promised son. And so, then it was, we read in the 21st verse, and the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And then in the 26th verse, after she had invited him to come with him to her father's house, that he bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord and prayed again. And so may we too have those hearts, as each evening time and as our own evening time draws nigh, that we may be a little more prepared for that place that the Heavenly Father has for us when He makes up His jewels. You know, Ruth represented the church and Boaz Christ, and Ruth gleaned, and where did she glean? Oh, in the field. In the field is the world. And how long did she glean? Oh, till evening time. And then what? And she lay at the feet of Boaz during the night. And then what? Well, there was a marriage in the morning. And then what? And then there were children born. Yes, the children of the regeneration, the hope that we have for the whole world of mankind. May we too be faithful to the evening time. And so, turning back, we think of those, when Brother Baker opened this convention with prayer, and we considered his prayer and we considered him, and we realized that throughout the world that there are those that are ripe fruit. It's evening time, for some a little earlier or a little farther along than some of the rest of us. But it's evening time. And so then, with James, let us say to one another, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming or presence of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the fruit of the earth. Is that what it says? The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth until he receive the early and the latter. Be ye also patient, and establish your hearts, for the presence of the Lord draweth nigh. Now we realize that this presence has stages. You and I are privileged to see him in his secret presence at the present time, but he'll be present throughout the whole age. And as this unfolding, the Epiphania and the Apocalypsis, as the work continues. But let us be patient until he completes this part of the work, and then we may be patient with him in doing all the glorious work of the next stage. And so let's turn back for a moment to our text in the 24th of Luke. As we realize that our Heavenly Father is long-suffering and patient, and our Lord is long-suffering and patient, and really our lifetime is so short that we want to be patient. But they said, they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and so it is toward the evening of this gospel age. And our Lord said, for lo, I am with you always, even to the conclusion of the age. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. So if we think things are tarrying, he's tarrying, and the Heavenly Father is tarrying with us. And it isn't that they're tarrying at all, but the wonderful thing about it is that they are with us. May the Lord help us to be faithful. And may the evening time of each day see us a little more in the likeness of God's dear Son, and therefore a little more in the likeness of our loving Heavenly Father. Amen.